You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We start a series Sunday morning on the gifts of the Spirit, Amplified Bible calls spiritual endowments of supernatural power. I believe what it says, spiritual endowments of supernatural power. And of course, this is just a, this. We teach a lot of series. This is the series that we're on right now. I try to get on this at least once a year or every other year or so. And I think it's been a year or two since we taught along these lines. You know, it starts out in this 12th chapter, first verse, 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And yet, as I've said before, it seems to be the thing that the church is the most ignorant about. I didn't say stupid. I said ignorant. Ignorance comes from not knowing, not teaching, not hearing, not reading about it. And oftentimes these chapters are just skipped over, browsed over, or just ignored altogether in many churches. And we got some great churches. We're pro-church. Thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Lutheran, Church of Christ. I mean, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are pro-church. Thank God for the churches that we have in our community. Even when we teach on something that seemingly is controversial that we believe that maybe others don't, our common ground really is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not all these other things. Although we have strong convictions on many things in the Scripture, I tell you, what gets you saved is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And that's the only thing that will save you. The gifts won't save you. Are you with me? Healing won't save you. Joy, you know, just joy and even peace and prosperity and all those things that the Bible promises, those don't save you. Jesus saves us. Amen. And so having said that, you know, these, as Christians, as believers, are things that we delve into. And sometimes we differ on that. And I don't think the Scripture differs. I think sometimes we just differ. I think most people just ignore it, don't even know what this says because they're not taught along these lines. So you have to be patient with people. Are you with me? The 12th chapter, we've gone over what the gifts are in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses. And categorize them. In fact, we closed out Sunday night. A real quick way you can categorize the nine gifts mentioned in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses is you could say the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. You could put them in one category and say those are gifts that reveal something. Mm-hmm. The word of wisdom reveals the future. The word of knowledge, the present. The gift of discerning spirits just reveals the spirit world. All visions in the Bible, when you see those, someone had that gift fall on them. They saw into the spirit, and that could be good spirits or bad spirits. That is not the gift of discernment. Many people often say, I have the gift of discernment. No, that's called the gift of suspicion. That's not one of the nine gifts. Hello. A lot of people feel like they have that one, you know. But that's not what it says. It's the gift of discerning of spirits, or actually the seeing of spirits, the visions, that, like John's vision of Revelation 19 or Daniel's vision of Revelation of Daniel chapter 10. Yeah, Daniel didn't have a vision of Revelation. He had a vision of Daniel. Ezekiel's vision, you know, the first chapter, we saw the wheels and the wheels within the wheels. When you look at visions that the prophets had, those would be seeing into the spirit or seeing spirits. Sometimes they saw demons. Sometimes they saw good spirits, good angels, heaven. Are you with me? John actually saw the bottomless pit opened up, you know, in Revelation chapter 9, where it talked about wasn't the seals. It was the trumpet, when the trumpets began to sound. But here, you could put those in a category, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, they reveal something. So there's three gifts that reveal something. Then there's other three gifts we categorize as gifts that do something. They're often called power gifts, gifts of healings, gifts of workings of miracles. And we often throw gift of faith in there with it because that's a special kind of faith. That's not a faith that we all have. It says to one is given the gift of faith. Amen. Now, you know, we all have faith. Romans 12:3 says he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says we all have the same spirit of faith. And 2 Peter 1:1, Peter speaking to those who have obtained like precious faith. So we all have the faith that Peter had, the faith that Paul had. We all have what we refer to as the faith, Christianity, the faith, the measure of faith. But this faith is a special kind of faith. It just comes and it goes. The gifts are like that. They're momentary. They're spontaneous. They come as the Spirit wills. They don't abide. They just come, then they leave. You don't operate in them at will. You can't control them, as it were. I mean, you have the choice to give it or not give it. When it comes, you still have a will, but you don't just have it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to use any time you want. It only comes as the Spirit wills.
Amen.
Are you with me? So therein is a difference that we'll talk about here again tonight. I won't get into that in a moment. Right now, I'm just categorizing them. So gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, often they work together in the Scripture. Those are gifts that do something. Those are power, what we call power gifts, active gifts. And then there's just what we just call the simple vocal gifts. That would be tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then prophecy, simple prophecy, not the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but just simple prophecy that edifies, encourages, and exhorts, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but we've taught on Sunday morning, taught on Sunday night, and we're teaching on tonight. We're going to teach on a few more services. So I encourage you to just come, write notes if you're not familiar with this, if you're interested. I believe the Bible has a lot of answers, and there's a lot of myths out there about the gifts, misnomers, and complete misdeals about the gifts that we've often picked up on. We've heard little sayings, you know, the gifts passed away. Well, they haven't passed away. They're still around. The Bible never said they passed away. And, of course, that's a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 13, which we have time, we'll get into that later, too. So we're going to dig into this. That's the categories. You can say gifts that reveal something. You can say gifts that do something. And you can say gifts that are vocal or just spoken. Now, having said that, I want to talk to you about what they are not. Everybody say what they are not.
What they are not.
Now, this may not sound that important, but it really is. Because some people get confused on the gifts. You know, in Acts, the second chapter, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:4 says that they all spoke with other tongues. They all spoke. Everybody say all.
All.
In Acts, the 10th chapter, Peter was preaching to some Gentiles. Actually, Cornelius was a centurion of an Italian band, it says, and he didn't have a rock band. It was just a band of Italians. And he was a devout man, prayed to God, and gave alms daily. And in a vision, an angel appeared to him and told him to send men to Joppa to ask for a man named Simon who would show him, or give him words whereby he might be saved. This is all in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. So Peter is up on the rooftop of this house. He was actually at a house of a man named Simon who was a tanner. You didn't know they had tanning beds back then, did you? Well, they were different. They tanned skins. So he was at the house of a man named Simon at Joppa. On the rooftop, Peter was, and he fell into a trance. Y'all remember the story? And a sheet came down from heaven with all kinds of food on it, but it was unkosher food. And being a good Jew, when he saw that unkosher food, a voice from heaven said, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, not these lips. Nothing unclean slipped these lips. And another voice from heaven said, same voice, but he said again, he said, what God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. And the Bible said it happened three times. And what he was getting set up for, some Gentiles were coming to the door of this house sent by God to get Peter to go tell Cornelius and his group how to be saved. You'd think, well, why didn't the angel tell them? Well, angels aren't supposed to preach the gospel. You're supposed to preach the gospel. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. You can pray all day long, God send an angel to go save somebody. They won't do it. They can't. You preach the gospel. I preach the gospel. We share the faith. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, what the Bible says. Well, Peter was hesitant to go, obviously, and would have been because these weren't Jews. See, so there was racial prejudice even in the church, in the early church. Even Peter just preached to Jews. God raised up Paul to really go out to the Gentiles and make an impact on the Gentile world. Well, these Gentiles came to the door, and what God was saying in that vision was that God had cleansed them just like everybody else, and what God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. God doesn't see a distinction there of race or gender as far as that. There's no male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, all one in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? And so he went with them, and as he preached to them, to make a short story longer, as he preached to them, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost fell on them. This is Acts 10th chapter, around the 45th verse, around that area. And it says, for they heard them speak with tongues. Now, the indication is very plain that they all spoke in tongues. Y'all see that? The Holy Spirit fell on them, they all spoke with tongues. I'm making a point here, stay with me. Then, over in Acts 19, Paul went to Ephesus. Y'all remember that? This is the book of Ephesians. If you want the history of the book of Ephesians, go over to Acts 19. That's where Paul went and evangelized the city of Ephesus. It was a great seaport back then during the time of Paul. It was on the western coast of modern-day Turkey. Back then it was called Asia Minor. Well, anyway, he went and preached there, and he met some disciples of John who had not even accepted Jesus. They didn't know about Jesus because John had been preaching. They picked up on what John was preaching, went out and started preaching what he's preaching. And, you know, they didn't have telephones back then. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have telegrams. They didn't have, all they had was tell a woman, you know, and tell a man, stay with me. But anyway, they didn't know. So Paul asked them, had they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? And they said, we haven't even heard whether it be a Holy Ghost. And they said, well, what then were you baptized to? And they said, John's baptism. And then he baptized them in the name of Jesus, laid hands on them. And the Bible says they all spoke with other tongues. Everybody say, all spoke with other tongues. Now, this is real interesting to me. This could not be the gift of tongues. Because they all spoke with other tongues. And the Bible very plainly says, and we read it there, in very great detail, says to one is given the gift of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. And to another, prophecy. And these are divided severally to every man as the Spirit wills. Y'all see that? So this is, I think, a big mistake that a lot of people make, maybe charismatic, Pentecostal mistake. We tend to make those gifts the same. That when someone's baptized with the Holy Ghost, they receive the gift of tongues. They do not. No, that is not what the Scripture teaches. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, everybody speaks in tongues. That's not the gift, because the gift only comes as the Spirit wills. And it should be accompanied by an interpretation. And what God is addressing, and Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 12, and the whole chapter of 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's addressing church polity or policy. He's addressing the order of the gifts in a church service, how they should operate and how they should flow. He is not talking about personally praying in other tongues. He's not talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the moving of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit as pertains to a church service or a gathering of believers. Are you with me? That's what he's talking about in particular. And so don't make the mistake of putting them all together, because it just won't work. And what we'll see here, and I want to get into this tonight, is that there really are counterparts to all these gifts. Spiritual counterparts, as it were. Let's go back and look at it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. One is given the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. By the Spirit, this is given. To one. Not to everybody, but to one. Now, this couldn't be just wisdom that you pray for, because anybody can get wisdom by asking of God. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, and it shall be given. Didn't it say that? And, it says, Proverbs 16:3 says, roll your works upon the Lord, and so shall thy thoughts be established. God will give you wisdom there. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from the evil. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. Direction does come as you begin to acknowledge God. Wisdom comes when you ask God. But that's not the gift of the word of wisdom. Because this only comes as the Spirit wills to one, to someone He chooses, spontaneously, nothing to do with you particularly asking for it. Hello. And then, of course, he goes on and says, then he talks about knowledge. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Well, you and I can get knowledge all kinds of ways. In fact, we're supposed to study, show ourselves proven unto God. Are you with me? We're supposed to dig into the Word of God and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this is a gift that only comes as the Spirit wills. It's only given to one as He wills, and not to everybody. So just getting in the Bible and getting knowledge is not the gift of the Word of knowledge. And getting in the Bible and getting wisdom on what to do is not the gift of the Word of wisdom. That's only given to one as the Spirit wills, not to everybody. And the whole point of this 12th chapter is difference. The whole point of this chapter is variety. The whole point of this chapter is unity through difference. That we're all different, and the gifts are different, yet it's all from the same Spirit. What the Bible is not teaching in chapter 12 is that we all have this. No. It's saying that we all don't have this, that we all have different things. And when the Spirit moves and there's a gift flowing and He picks one person, we don't need to be in disunity, because that's just God's choice or His choosing. If He chose to use someone to give a tongue, interpretation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, whatever the case may be, He loves us all the same. We're all necessary. We're all different, though. He's not saying we're all the same. He's saying we're all different. In fact, the analogy He uses as He goes on here is the analogy of a body. He talks about the body of Christ. And He says, if all were an eye, where were the hearing? And if all were hearing, where were the seeing? And the hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of thee. Because the eye has a function, the hand has a function, the ear has a function. And when the leg bone gets hooked up to the hip bone, you know the story, or the song, you know how it goes, then we all begin to flow together. Are you with me? Amen. And so in a church setting, concerning specifically here the gifts, that's what he's talking about here in the 12th chapter, it's different with everybody. And the gifts flow differently. But you know what? Same body, same Spirit, and we need each other. Amen? Amen. So this couldn't be just general wisdom. It couldn't be general knowledge, because we all have that, or all can get it. And then he says to another, faith but the same Spirit. That couldn't be general faith. We all have faith. Romans 12:3, he's given every man a measure of faith. And I quoted several scriptures along those lines. This is a supernatural faith that just comes and it goes. It comes, it goes. Another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Did you know the Bible says that we all should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Now think about it. Mark 16 chapter, 18th verse, says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Now that's general, that's for everybody. We should all be praying for one another. We did that just a while ago. Every church ought to pray for each other, ought to pray for their members, pray for prayer requests. We ought to pray for people to be healed. That's just a given. We're under a mandate to do that. But that's not the gifts of healings. In fact, I firmly believe if you believe God and we pray and stand in faith, you can get your healing. You can get your miracle. But now the gift of healing is something different than that. It's like when someone's really moving it, it's instantaneous. Hello? And everybody doesn't have that. Thank you for your enthusiasm here tonight. So there's a counterpart. What we're saying is, although you may not flow in the gifts of healing, you can sure get healed. If you stand in faith and you lay hands on the sick and you believe God, it may take a while, but don't give up. God's going to come through. You have His promise. Healing's going to come. But sometimes an evangelist or someone that moves in the gift that has supernatural manifestations might come. That gift is flowing, and there's instantaneous healings that take place. Don't confuse that with someone just believing for a healing. Yeah, sure. And don't you be discouraged if you're believing for a healing, nothing happens instantaneously. Amen. Don't get the gift confused with believing God for healing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sure. So there's counterparts. Y'all see that. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, My goodness. There are people that seem to have that gift flow in their life, evangelists, teachers, and so on and so forth. We see it even in the Bible. Went over that in detail or brought out how Philip in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, said many sick of palsies were healed and many lame were healed. It seemed like he had an anointing in that one area. Notice it says gifts of healing, gifts of working of miracles. Y'all see that? But you can get a miracle. I don't know what miracle you need. You can believe God and stand in faith for it. It may not be instantaneous. May not be the gift like flows through an evangelist or so on. There is a counterpart. You can still believe God. Amen?
Amen.
And then he goes on and says, to another work of miracles, to another prophecy. Now, I want you to think about this. Prophecy, of course, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3. And that's the context of this. It's 12, 13, 14 chapter. It says that he that prophesieth edifies, speaks edification, comfort, and exhortation. I call that the big three. I think a true biblical prophecy, not one that has predictions in it. If it has predictions in it, that's the word of wisdom. But if you're just general prophecy, biblical prophecy, it's encouraging, it's edifying, it's exhorting someone, it's comforting someone. Prophecy should do that. It should confirm some things and exhort us, encourage us in some areas. It's a lifting thing. It's a good thing. It comes as the Spirit wills. But did you know that all of us really should do that? Not prophesy, stay with me. But all of us should exhort one another. And all of us should comfort one another.
Yes.
And all of us should encourage one another.
Amen.
In fact, the Scripture is very plain. But that's not prophecy. Does that make sense? That's not the gift that comes by the Spirit. that encourages, edifies, and exhorts. Yes. There is a gift that does that, but then we should all do that anyway. Amen. Not to be confused with a gift when it comes. When someone has a word from the Lord, an encouragement from the Lord, an exhortation from the Lord for someone. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with that. But see, that doesn't let us off the hook either because we don't flow in that. No, we should encourage people anyway. But it's wonderful when God moves with a gift and there is an encouragement that comes through a prophecy along those lines. Just don't get too confused. I'm going somewhere. Y'all getting this? So another discern of spirits. That's the seeing of spirits. I mean, you learn a lot, I guess, by visions and so on and so forth. You know, I actually can get in the Word of God and find out a lot about visions. And read some visions and find out some things, but that's not the gift. Are you with me? I can eat too much pizza and see things, but that's not gift either. You know? Get a hold of some bad food. I got a hold of some bad food down in Rio Verde, Mexico. I saw all kinds of things that night. But anyway, that was not the gift of discerning spirits. Okay, to another different kinds of tongues. Stay with me. That's not tongues that you get when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19 where they all spoke with other tongues. That's not just praying in other tongues, which you have the ability to do if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about being saved. If you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. For a Christian and believer, there's a second experience called the baptism with the Holy Spirit as they experienced it in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. And they all spoke with tongues. Notice it didn't say they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and one spoke with tongues, and one had a word of knowledge, and another had a word of wisdom, and another had gifts of discerning spirits. All divided severally as the Spirit will. You notice it did not say that. See, that's the indication right there, and we know right there that it could not be the gift of tongues that they received, because they all received it. And nobody interpreted it either. You say, well, no, it says they understood what they said. No, it says they understood what they said. It didn't say someone interpreted. There was a miracle on all those that were on the day of Pentecost. They heard in their own languages, when they spoke in other tongues, they heard in their own languages the mighty works of God. Amen. It didn't say a tongue was given and someone stood and gave an interpretation. No, it didn't say that at all. It says they came out 120 strong, filled with the Holy Spirit. They all spoke with other tongues. And then people from all these different lands, because it was Pentecost, and the Jews had come from all these different places to celebrate Pentecost, they were there gathering together in Jerusalem, and they heard in their own language, Parthians, Medes, and Greeks. And it lists some 17 different languages, I think, that they actually heard spoken. But it didn't say anybody interpreted. There wasn't the gift of interpretation present because no one interpreted. So there must be a difference. What we're saying is, I know the Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but the Bible doesn't say don't think. We're just saying think about it and let the Bible speak for itself. Put the pieces together. So this is something different. These gifts are something different than Acts 2 and Acts 19 and Acts 10. And the difference is the will. The difference is the division or the dividing by the Spirit. Because it says, to one is given, to one is given, to one is given. Y'all see that? So, and then he says, to another interpretation of tongues. Well, obviously, there are counterparts to these. The 10th verse says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Everybody say individually. Okay. So he's not distributing this wholesale, like we see in Acts 2 where they all spoke with tongues. He's not distributing this to everyone, like we see in Acts 10 and Acts 19. This is distributed to each one individually as he wills. And the point he makes is, 12th verse, for as the body is one and has many members, difference. These gifts are different. God uses different people in different ways in these gifts. But all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I love that. All of us make up the body of Christ, and all these gifts come from the Spirit. Amen. All those different people being used concerning that. So you can see a counterpart, a supernatural counterpart to all these, not counterfeit, counterpart. There are counterfeits, yes. And, you know, there are cults out there that do all kinds of things. I get tickled. People say, well, what's the difference between y'all doing what y'all do and those Satan worshipers over doing the same things and going off into a trance. Well, you know, I don't know about those Satan worshipers. I just know what the Bible says. Also, those Satan worshipers eat meals too, and I eat meals, but that doesn't make me a Satan worshiper. I've seen some of them, and they have clothes on. I wear clothes. I'm not about to take my clothes off because Satan worshipers wear clothes. I mean, you can't say guilty by association here because there's a lot of similarities between all kinds of cults and good, solid Christian teaching. The difference is, you know, what does the Bible say? Now, if what we're saying is not scriptural, then I understand we've got a case. But don't just pull in some, that's a legal ploy anyway. That's a lawyer's ploy where you try to paint the witness as a bad person by comparing him to someone else that does some similar things, you know. Amen. What about all those fake healings out there? What about fake salvations? You know, Jim Jones was a preacher at one time. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Preacher in a fundamental church. But obviously something was wrong there with Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Hello. And he went sour and went south, as it were, you know, and started that cult, that guy in a cult. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean real salvation is not real. And that doesn't mean real people can't get saved. They can. Amen. Just because he had either a false experience or he denied the faith later, whatever happened in his life, it doesn't change the scripture. You can still be saved by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter how many people have messed it up. Hello. Just like $20 bills, there's some fake ones out there. But you know what? I'm going to keep spending the good ones. In fact, if you're afraid of all your $20 bills, bring them to my house. I'll take them. I realize there's fakes out there. There's fakes in every area. There's bad teachers, bad bankers, bad politicians. There's bad whatever it is you do. There are people that are charlatans in that profession. But that doesn't mean that what's good and right and just and pure is not still good, right, just and pure. The question is not these similarities. The question is not associations. The question is not, I heard the story. The question is this, what does the Bible say? If it's in the Bible, we got to run with it. People are going to fake it. I know that. They're going to counterfeit it. I understand that. But now when I'm talking about these differences of gifts, I'm not talking about counterfeits. I'm talking about I'm talking about just counterparts, as it were. Y'all do understand the difference, right? Counterpart, counterfeit. Okay, so I'm not going to get into all this, the rest of this chapter. I want to jump to the end because there's a big question at the end of this thing I want to address. All the middle of this talks about unity. It talks about the example of a body. I love that because we're like a body. We're not numbers. We're not just numbers. You know, where you got 99, now you got 98, or, you know, we're like a family's not numbers. It doesn't work that way. You know, when someone in the family goes on to be with the Lord, you don't just lose a number. Well, you had five people, now you got four people. No, you lost a mama. Come on. Or a daddy, or a brother, or a sister, or a son, or a daughter. I mean, we have functions. Are you with me? And church is like that. We're not just numbers. We play a part here. We play a role here. We're like a body. We got hands, we got feet, we got heads, we got some people that are just heels, but you know, hey, we need heels. We got no, you're not heels. Stay with me. Somebody is. I just don't know who he is. But anyway, we're all different parts. And you know what? That's what makes the body work. I think of all we have accomplished here at International Outreach Church. It's not because of any one person. It's because of all of us. In fact, not one of us could have done it. But all of us together have done what we've done in the last 25 years. And it's a wonderful thing when we all get together and we start moving together and doing all the different things we do with one common goal, one common cause, one common vision. That's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful when a machine, an engine in a car, an automobile works as it properly should work with all the different parts working as they should work. It gets the car down the road. But the alternator doesn't do what the water pump does. And the water pump doesn't do what the battery does. And the starter. And, you know, you go through all the different parts in a car, the internal combustion system. It's all got to work together, and all of it's important. And if you lose a part, the car will shut down. Hello. It'll shut down. And the rest of the parts are fine, but that one part missing messed it up, see? That's what we got to get the picture and get the vision of in a church, is that we're all necessary, we're all needed. In a general sense, we know that. I think of, goodness, right now we've got children's church going on, we've got youth going on, we've got nursery, I guess we've got nursery going on, yeah. We've got nursery going on. A couple of our nursery workers didn't make it tonight, but we filled that in. And we've had our song service tonight. There was an orchestra up here, people singing up here. There was people taking offerings, receiving offerings, ushers. We've got cameramen going and people in the back editing. And there's a lot that goes on. You know, we're just sitting here having a service and don't realize how many people are involved in the process. That's a good thing. So now he takes that analogy, and that's what I skipped for brevity's sake, and then I linked it as much as I could. I don't know how I did that, but anyway. He takes that analogy and applies that to the gifts and talks about the different gifts and yet how they're all necessary. And then he comes down to this, and I want to cover this and tell you what it says, and we'll talk about what it doesn't say. The 27th verse, now you are the body of Christ as members, and members in particular, or individually. I'm reading New King James, quoting King James. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. I like that. And this is kind of a trick question, you know. If someone were to ask you, are you the body of Christ? Most people would say, yeah. But you know, really, you're not the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And that's what he was saying. He was saying you, as we say in East Texas, you all are the body of Christ. And members in particular, individually. I am not the body of Christ. I am a member of the body of Christ. Now, I house him. He's in me. He lives in me. He walks in me. Yes, I understand that. But we are the body. We make up the body of Christ. The arms, the legs, the feet, the hands, the eyes, all those things. But we individually are just those parts. And boy, you just can't do a whole lot just one part. You know, if everybody were an eye sitting there in the chair just looking at me, it wouldn't, you know, I'd be looking good. But, you know, you wouldn't hear anything I'd say because you wouldn't have an ear. So a body's got to have all the parts to function, and a church functions better as more parts get together.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, get this taped. Everybody wasn't here tonight. But anyway, y'all are here, so that's good. You are the body of Christ members in particular, and God has appointed, 28th verse, has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps. Helps, that's a big one. We don't hear a lot about helps. Helps are some of the things I just mentioned a while ago. Helps are what make the world go round. Let me tell you what. Helps are things like nursery workers and ushers. And helps are things that don't get a lot of fanfare and we don't make a lot of and we don't exalt and they don't get a lot of limelight. But without helps, the whole thing falls apart. Without people cleaning the building, coming here and cleaning the building. You know, we have volunteer people come clean the building once a week. It looks good on Sundays, I'm telling you. It looks great. A lot of people do a lot of things. That's helps. Behind the scenes, not up front, don't get the fanfare and the limelights. You know, who's the star in the show? Well, let me tell you something. The star's Jesus.
Amen.
Let's get that straight. And beyond that, we all make it happen.
Right.
We all make it happen. In fact, the more we get together and do what we're supposed to do, the further we're going to go on down the road, the further we're going to progress. So he says helps. And who set them in the church?
Mm-hmm.
God did. Isn't that what it says? God. I love that because, you know, people talk about a pastor being called or maybe a youth minister coming and being called or a youth song leader or whatever, you know, right on down the list. But every one of us should be called. Every one of us should sense a pull or a tug or a setting of God in a church. We should sense this is where we're supposed to be, that God has set us here. And don't you sell yourself short. Every one of us are set in the church. All of us are. You say, well, I don't do anything. Well, you pray, you come, you support it with your prayers and your faith and your offerings, if that's the case. I mean, you have a part. We all make this happen.
Yes, amen.
Hello. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only one called here. People come all the time. They say, well, I'm looking for a church. And I say, well, I'll pray with you. God will show you where you should go. I'm very cautious to say, come on, this is it. Because I don't know that.
Yeah.
And you need to know that. In fact, I often say, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to believe God will show you what to do. You just pray. And you know what? If this is it, you come on. If this is not it, you wouldn't want to be here, and we wouldn't want you here. I mean, people have come that wasn't God for them to be here. They knew it. We knew it. Are you with me? After a while, stay with me. No, you know that. You don't need me to tell you that. I mean, you're going to sense an anointing or a presence or a pull or, you know, it just fits. It's right. It's like a good shoe. You've been wearing it. You wore it. You get in there. It fits good. You know, you need to be in a church that moves you to God, moves you to holiness, challenges you, and gets you in the presence of God. And you know that. Nobody has to tell you that. That's why I'm, as a pastor, don't tell people when they come, you know, this is it, you come here. I invite them, sure, I want them to come back, but I want them to know it's God. And you need to know it's God. Amen? Because God sets us. So God appoints and God sets us in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations. Boy, that's governments and order and so on and so forth. Varieties of tongues. See, he's talking about the gifts here. That's the direct. That's a direct context of this. Now, you can apply it a lot of ways, but the direct context of this is, of course, the gifts of the Spirit. That's what he talked about, started the chapter out with, concerning spiritual gifts. I would not have you ignorant. And then he says, are all apostles? What would be the answer to that? No. But let me submit to you something here. What do? Apostles go out and preach the gospel. They start works according to Scripture. They went into new areas, a lot of them did, and they preached the gospel. Did you know all of us should be a light and a witness and should preach? So all of us in one sense do, now stay with me, an apostolic work, but we're not apostles. Amen? What does Matthew 28 tell us? It tells us, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. I mean, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was quoting Mark 16. I kind of put the two together. Anyway, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Didn't Jesus say that? Isn't that the Great Commission? Doesn't every church preach and teach that we all should be a witness and be a light and preach the gospel? But we also know that when we say that, all of us aren't pastors and all of us aren't apostles. Amen? And yet we do that work. But not in that office. We're not in that office. No, no, no. That's a calling. That's an office. That's a special office. He says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? What's the answer to that? Of course not. That's an office that God calls certain people to. But yet, what is prophecy? Hold your place. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. Just flip the page over here. 1 Corinthians 14:3, what does it say? But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now that's the gift. And yet, although we don't all have that gift, we do all edify, comfort, and exhort one another. Hold your place there. Look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 13, says, exhort one another daily. Now he's not talking about the gift there. He's not talking about prophecy there. No way. But he is telling us to exhort one another because we should all do that. Right? Exhort one another daily while it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. 1 Thessalonians 5, turn there real quick. Bible drills. Y'all learn something there? 1 Thessalonians 5, notice what it says in the 11th verse. Therefore comfort one another, or encourage one another, and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So we edify, comfort, encourage one another. That's not the gift as the Spirit wills when a prophecy or a word comes for someone. And just because you can encourage one doesn't mean you're a prophet. Hello. I know some churches don't believe in prophets. That's why they call them non-profit organizations. But anyway, moving right along. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. Well, it says apostles... are all apostles, all prophets, are all teachers? What, the office and the call of a teacher? No, of course not. We're not all teachers. But did you know we're supposed to all teach and admonish one another? That's exactly what was it, Colossians, turn to Colossians. Don't mind flipping around here, D. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You know how that goes? Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just trying to help you. Colossians 3, notice what it says in the 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. See that? Is the word of Christ supposed to dwell in us?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is. That's not a trick question, y'all. It's just real simple. Yes, of course. And then what are we supposed to do with that? Once you learn something, get a hold of something, we're supposed to teach and admonish one another, aren't we? But now, you know and I know that's not the office of a teacher. Correct? I know you're thinking, well, what are you doing? It's so redundant. I am going somewhere. Stay with me. Hang on for the ride. Come on. Although I'm not maybe a teacher, I am a teacher. I have a gift of teaching. I understand that. I'm anointed and called to do that. God called me, and I remember when he did call me to do that. And I have that anointing, that gift. That's a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor and a teacher. But just because you may not be a pastor or teacher doesn't mean you can't teach one another. In fact, you're supposed to teach one another. We're all supposed to share with one another and admonish one another and teach one another. But are all teachers? Back to that question. No. Are all apostles? No. Y'all see what's going on here? There's an office that he's talking about. Just like when he talks about these gifts, these are gifts by the Spirit to individuals, not to be confused with things that we can do and that God uses us to do on a regular, normal basis. The gifts are something separate. The gifts are something unique. The gifts come as the Spirit wills. And there's a special anointing on those. He says here, back to 12th chapter, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. You know, I already covered that, really. We're not all workers of miracles, but we can have a miracle. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Mark 11:24. And Mark 9:23, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. So if you're in dire straits, you need a miracle, get on your knees, pray, believe God, we'll believe with you. It may not happen instantly, but you know what? We'll believe with you and you'll get a miracle. But that doesn't mean you're a worker of miracles. There are people who specialize in that gift. Do all have gifts of healings? Of course not, but we can all get our healing, can't we? We should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We should pray one for another that we may be healed, James 5:16. We're admonished to do that, to pray one for another. And then he says, do all speak with tongues? What's the answer to that? No. The gift? No. But you know what? Everybody's baptized, the Holy Ghost speaks with tongues. Because they all did in Acts 2, and they all did in Acts 19, and they all did in Acts 10. So he must not be talking about that. He's talking about that special gift that has an interpretation of tongues in the church service. Does that help you?
Yes.
See why I belabored the point? Because these things, if you just read them isolated, stand alone by themselves, you don't get it. But if you put it in context of the rest of the Scripture, it starts flowing together and making sense. I've often heard people say, well, the Bible says not everybody speaks in tongues. Well, now, wait a minute. He's talking about the gift of tongues in the service that has an interpretation of tongues. In that case, no, everybody doesn't do that.
Amen.
And it would be wrong for me to say, everybody pray that you would have the gift of tongues. Well, no, the Bible doesn't admonish us to do that. It admonishes us to pray for the best gifts as a church, and it doesn't matter who gives them. And there should be no jealousy or envy if God uses one as opposed to another. In fact, he's telling us he will use one as opposed to another because that's the way he works. Is this helping somebody? Okay, hallelujah. So he says, do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You know, he didn't even mention everything here. I think it's interesting. He didn't mention word of wisdom, didn't mention word of knowledge. He didn't mention gift of discerning spirits. He didn't mention offices. He didn't mention the evangelist here. He mentioned enough to make his point. And the point that he was making was that there are supernatural offices and supernatural gifts that come as the Spirit wills. And God doesn't use all of us the same way in those things. But there are counterparts to all those that we all flow in, but not the gift. Not the gift. That's, I think, a big misunderstanding. And it brings a lot of confusion in the charismatic Pentecostal. And we are Pentecostal, charismatic, or of that persuasion. But sometimes with not making that distinction, people get confused on the gifts. They'll come along and they'll say, well, everybody doesn't speak with tongues. So when they get baptized with the Holy Ghost, they'll say, well, you don't have to speak with tongues if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. It might not be your gift. But the problem with that is that they all spoke with tongues when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. So that's not the gift. The confusion is trying to make it the gift when it's not. Hello?
Amen.
And so we've often promoted that kind of confusion in Pentecostal circles and charismatic circles because we've made no distinction between the gift and praying in other tongues when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hello? And I've seen people just hold back. In a lot of Pentecostal circles, they won't pray in tongues until the Holy Ghost comes on them. They wait till, see, and in Acts 2, they did it as they willed. Acts 19 and Acts 10, they did it as they willed. And so they're waiting for the moving of the Spirit. That's the gift.
Amen.
Hello? That's the gift. And you do need an unction for that. Then I've seen another error on the other side of this. Boy, there's a lot of sides of this coin. This is a many-sided coin here. I'm going to have to use another analogy because my metaphors aren't working here. Another misuse is in the gift of tongues, people will just get up and just pray in tongues. And it's not the gift of tongues.
Right.
And maybe they just feel a little compassion or just get up and they want to give something, but it's not really the Holy Ghost. There's no anointing. There wasn't a nudging from the Spirit to give a tongue. But because we're all filled with the Holy Ghost, any of us could get up and speak in tongues. But it wouldn't be the gift of tongues unless there was an anointing, unless there was a moving of the Spirit on that. And so there's confusion on that side too. So I think these things just clear up what the gifts are. They help us in operating in the gifts. They help us have order in the church. Because when Paul talks about order, let all things be done decently in order, he is talking about the gifts. That's 1 Corinthians 14 where he says that. A lot of people will quote that verse about church services, and I've heard them quote it. They don't even believe in the gifts in those church services. There's nothing really for them to have order over. Some people say, well, we got order. Over what? The context was the gifts. That was the whole point. See, when he says that, the 14th chapter, he's talking about, he gives us a whole chapter, the 14th chapter, which we're going to get into, not tonight. The whole point was, use wisdom in the flowing of the gifts. The problem at Corinth was not the gifts. The problem was the misuse. The problem was lack of order. There was disunity. He talks about unity all through 1 Corinthians because they were choosing sides. They were picking sides. Boy, they either want to be prophesiers or they want to be tongue talkers or they want to be word of wisdom guys. Or they, I'm of Paul. I'm of Paulus. That's how it starts out. See, there was disunity in the body because they didn't recognize the uniqueness of everybody and how we were all necessary. And they took something that was holy and wonderful and a benefit to the church, the gifts, and they made something bad out of it. They tried to divide themselves up with it. And these are wonderful things. And you know, if you got up and God used you in a gift, I would rejoice. I wouldn't be upset because he didn't use me. I'd just be glad he moved. Hello? And we ought to all be glad that he moves. Hallelujah. Because we all benefit from the manifestation of the gift.
Amen.
7th verse, 12th chapter, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So when a gift comes, we all rejoice in it. We all benefit from it. And the more in unity we are, the more we're all blessed by it. Because
yes,
we're seeing clearly.
Sure.
Amen. Well, let me close this out. Does this help you? He says in the 31st verse, earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Not replacement, not instead of, but a more excellent way. And that's when he gets into the love chapter. Love is not a replacement for the gifts. It's not to be done instead of the gifts. It is how the gifts are to be done. It is the way the gifts are to be done. And you know what the best gifts are? The one necessary at the time. Well, which one's better? Whatever's necessary. If somebody came here in a wheelchair, I think the best one at that time would be the gifts of healing. Whatever necessary. So I want the Holy Spirit to move. I want to pray and believe that God will move in the services and whatever God wants to do, whatever's necessary, let the best gifts flow.
Amen.
Amen. And only God knows that. I mean, you just have to pray for the best ones to flow.